I have been messing up a lot lately. I hesitate to tell you this, mostly because I don't want you to feel like you have to reassure me. You do not. Also, a little bit because it's not permission to tell me all the ways that I've been messing up that I'm not quite aware of yet. But it is the most true thing I could think of to say to start this homily. I have been messing up a lot lately. I find myself forgetting things, and my calendar looks like a Jackson Pollock painting with all of the scribbles and the ink spots from where I've had to reschedule, or I've double booked, or I've added something in at the last minute that I forgot had been there for weeks. I've missed responding to emails from people that really matter to me, really important emails. And what has felt like a lapse of 2 days has ended up being weeks or more. I got the flu. I have been sick more this year than I think I've been sick in a very long time, maybe decades. And I hate being sick. I hate the struggle of not being there or doing things that I promised to be there and do. I hate letting other people carry the weight of the balls that I had to drop. It's embarrassing. I'm angry that it's embarrassing. I'm angry that I'm angry. Does anybody know this feeling? Ugh. I'm mad that we're in a society that teaches us it's shameful to be sick or lonely or hurting. Or really what it teaches us is that it's okay to be those things as long as it doesn't impact anybody else or your life. But I'm not doing very well right now. And I think that's probably true. It's probably true that many of us aren't really operating at our full capacity or feeling particularly caught up with our lives or grounded or content. Maybe that's a rationalization to make myself feel better. Don't tell me if it's not. There is something so off about this time in our world. There's something so unsettling about the challenges that we're facing that I think collectively we're all a mess on some level. And then if you add in any personal upheaval, it's so hard to know where to start in the effort to be well again. And I thought a lot about what that means. What does it mean to be well? I think it means grounded, that sense of rootedness, that I can stand apart from what's happening without getting caught up in it. There's content, to feel content, which isn't happy or joyful, it's accepting. This is what it is right now. There's wholeness, I think, which is about integrity. It's about all of the pieces of my life working together in concert, none of them being subjugated or operating in different directions. Wholeness. And then there's thriving. And thriving, of course, is having the energy to do what needs to be done, to do what you want to do, and to still have just a little bit of gas left in the tank. It doesn't mean wellness, doesn't mean that everything is good. It means I have this sense that I can meet it, that I'm okay in the midst of that struggle. And that feeling, that is what I long for more than anything right now. A return to the knowing that there's something beautiful operating in the world. The knowing, not just the believing or the hoping or the thinking, but the knowing that there's something beautiful operating in the world and that I'm a part of that beauty. I long for the certainty in my very soul that we are held, we are not alone, that oneness, the grace and the love that we talk about so often. I want to know that those things are more than words and I can access the truth of their existence in any moment. What I know about myself is that when things are bad for me, the usual things don't work. There's no amount of talking or walking, reading or writing, no amount of self-help techniques or willpower that will help me. Although I do still recommend them, I do them, they help. What I've learned, what I have to acknowledge, is that what I long for in the darkest times is something much deeper, richer, something beyond and within me. In these times, I long to feel connected to God. That's my word. It still works for me. It could be divine energy or unconditional love. It could be the wholeness of the earth. It is at the very least to acknowledge that longing to be connected to that something bigger without any shame or justification. I was drawn to that Chad Snyder poem in our Soul Matters material this month because of that play on words, be longing, as a way to belong. To belong is to be longing for a space to be held and that will hold friend, stranger, neighbor, other, for silences that are broken by the songs of the silenced, for time that does not stretch but encircles. To belong is to be longing for wholeness of the beloved, of all who belong and are longing. Spoiler alert, this is a spiritual community. Sometimes I think we forget that. Or maybe some of us wish it wasn't true, and that's okay. More likely, we probably don't even know what that means. It's all okay. I think that at least part of what it means to be in a spiritual community is to remember that it is our responsibility to look at what's happening in the world and in our own lives through a different lens than what we're offered by secular wisdom. Love is the spirit of this church. Love, spirit, church. We have covenanted to grow in harmony with the divine, with one another, with the source of our being. We have a responsibility to at least think about what that means, to feel about what that means. When hard times come, when we're messing up, when everything is just messed up, we are meant to look at the bigger picture. We're meant to remind ourselves and to be reminded that going deeper, following paths of true longing and calling on that which is greater, more powerful than we can be alone, is not just a fantasy or a coping mechanism for convenience sake. It is a necessity. Prayer is not asking, Gandhi said. It is a longing of the soul. It is a daily admission of one's weakness. What is the longing of your heart? What is beneath what you think you want or what you tell yourself you need? The want for more money, for instance. What is the longing beneath that? I assure you it isn't power because they're the same thing. But maybe it's the longing for freedom from fear. Maybe it's the longing for safety. What is the longing beneath your need? And would you meet me there? Would you meet one another there? Would you ask that question? In the vulnerability and in the honesty, in the truth of our own impermanence. If we could tolerate the truth of our longing and share it with one another, would there remain any need to dominate or control or withhold? Would it be easier to forgive and to connect? Jackie's poems today lift up the power of longing, as she said, in the mystic and Sufi traditions. The mystic tradition is more often connected to Christianity, and Sufism is rooted in Islam, both emphasizing seeking a personal experience of God through meditation and ritual, through poetry. Rumi is our famous Sufi poet, come, come, whoever you are. And Hildegard of Bingen, you might know, is one of our famous Christian mystics. This type of practice, this seeking the experience of the holy, is without religious borders. It's beyond denominations. Suzanne de Courcy talked about it a few weeks ago in relation to the Celtic experience of Imbolc. It's really any practice that encourages a felt experience that transcends, or in other words, is larger than or beyond or deeper than the regular experience, the going through your day stuff. It's like this. It's like looking at the birds that are feeding outside your window, and instead of just seeing the birds, you all of a sudden feel their connection to you. You know yourself to be a part of them and that beauty they're creating out there. In that moment, you sense you are more than just looking. And then, having that beautiful, wonderful, connected experience, it's acknowledging that though that feeling is fleeting, what we all want all the time, what we long for all the time, is that experience, that feeling of being so connected, so part of, so knowing something bigger, and we are in it too. It's not something to be afraid of, or paradoxically, even something to try to sate that longing. It's the calling card of all that is good and whole. It's a bit of the medicine I think the world needs to be well again, acknowledging that emptiness, that pull. It's right to seek it. It's right to embrace it. It's the root of all of us. In fact, the Persian poet Hafiz wrote a piece about grief, but I don't think he'd mind if I substitute the word grief for longing, because as Jackie reminded me, the original poem was written in classical Arabic, and so it was probably translated wrong anyway. At least that's what I'm telling myself. And if you know Hafiz's work at all, you know he has an incredible sense of humor and might even love that I'm playing with his poem a little bit. Here it is. Do not surrender your longing so quickly. Let it cut more deeply. Let it ferment and season you as few human or divine ingredients can. Something is missing in my heart tonight that has made my eyes so soft and my voice so tender and my need of God so absolutely clear. When I hear people say that we need more God in our country, our schools, our public institutions, I cringe. I cringe because I know that most often what they mean is that they want more sameness, more rules, more power, more patriarchy. But when Hafiz says, my need of God so absolutely clear, he's saying more about the need and the power of feeling a vulnerable emotion with honesty and openness that leads him to a knowing that something is missing and he has to be faithful to the finding. The world doesn't need an idea of God, a word without heart. The world needs heart, a longing without words. If we could help one another embrace the hard emotion, the needs, the longings that we dare not whisper, if we could find a deeper connection through that embrace of the messiness, could we not maybe begin to heal that which feels unhealable? So, do not surrender your longing. Be longing for the beloved, for the songs of the silenced, for time that encircles. May your eyes be soft and your voice so tender toward all who belong and are longing. Amen.